Translation. Any king who does not teach his citizens about their respective duties in terms of varna and ashram, but who simply exacts tolls and taxes from them, is liable to suffer for the impious activities which have been performed by the citizens. In addition to such degradation, the king also loses his own fortune. Purport. A king, governor, or president should not take the opportunity to occupy his post without also discharging his duty. He must teach the people within the state how to observe the divisions of varna and ashrama. If a king neglects to give such instructions and is simply satisfied with levying taxes, then those who share in the collection, namely all the government servants and the head of the state, are liable to share in the impious activities of the general masses. The laws of nature are very subtle. For example, if one eats in a place which is very sinful, he shares in the resultant reaction of the sinful activities performed there. It is a Vedic system, therefore, for a householder to call Brahmins and Vaishnavas to eat at ceremonial performances in his house, because the Brahmins and Vaishnavas can immunize him from sinful activities. But it is not the duty of rigid Brahmins and Vaishnavas to accept invitations everywhere. There is, of course, no objection to taking part in feasts in which prasad is distributed. There are many subtle laws which are practically unknown to people in general. But the Krishna consciousness movement is very scientifically distributing all this Vedic knowledge for the benefit of the people of the world. So we see in these chapters on Prithu Maharaj, then the element of a good leader is being defined. Previous verses then said that the whole universe, all the kings of the universe, all the administrators of the universe, then they take his example, because he's the incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, what is being established here is appropriate. We have to remember that, as is pointed out, is duties are for pleasing the Supreme Lord. That's what the Bhagavatam is saying. So the idea of administration and management is to see, organize, that the duties are being performed in such a way that the Supreme Lord is pleased. They don't have a separate standing. That is the weakness we fall prey to due to our conditioning. In the material world, activity gives a particular material result. Seeing that our satisfaction is all we're looking for in the attainment of those external situations and facilities that we're looking for, we make the mistake that the activity may be fine, but it's not our pleasure that we're actually working for. We're working for pleasure of a person. So in that way, then, we are correct. Difficulty comes is that we're missing the point. It's the Lord's satisfaction we're looking for. Right? But by habit, we're always looking for our own. So it's natural we'll forget, because we're doing the service for Krishna. But in the actual moment of performing the service, the tendency is simply to look to our satisfaction. Not that we're satisfied that a good job is being done for Krishna, but that it was some good management, some good administration, good organization. But unfortunately, that's not enough. That won't be called pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means we understand the point of the service is to please the Supreme Lord. There is no other point. So management and organization is not for its own sake, though we are happy with that. Right? You know, like someone who's a good cook is just happy making preparations and making tasty things. Right? Then they learn to make tasty things for the Lord. So the same way as administration and management, it has its own flavor, and people do it just because the taste that they get of doing it nicely. Now that it's connected to Krishna, then that's an extra bonus. But that's only coming by the grace of the process, not by our practice. So we have to remember Prithu Maharaj is a great devotee, and he's talking to an assembly of devotees. So his instruction is not meant for the karmis. Whenever Varnashram comes up, administration, we think, oh, that's the karmis. No, that's called Arthashastra. When the same thing's being discussed in Bhagavatam, it's not getting to the detail of Arthashastra. That you read Arthashastra. What is getting into the detail is the mood in which you apply that shastra. That's what makes Bhagavatam the pinnacle of the Vedic literatures. It teaches how all other literatures are to be connected to the Lord. Because the other literatures explain it, but the individual getting caught up in the detail of the rules and the application of the science very easily can miss the point, right? We only have to look around at the 1 billion associates we have sitting here, and it's obvious. Shastra's being followed, piety is being followed, but Krishna consciousness as an outcome or a purpose of that is not being followed. But piety, prosperity, you know, they're doing good. You have to remember, what we say, all we like about our education and our background and our modern civilization. But the guy up the road that wears, you know, a gumsha, you know, in his daily wear, and a t-shirt with holes in it. You, sitting here in this room, are paying him 5 lakhs a kutta for land. So, in his lifestyle, how rich is he? Very rich. So, he's doing okay. And he maybe even can't even write. So, we have to be very, very careful in seeing that we don't miss the point. Because being expert in the material world and all that is nice. But it's nothing special. Birds, you take the common pigeon sitting out in that tree that just flew by. It can fly better than any aircraft made by any man on the planet today. And it will always be like that. Right? Other birds can take the leaves from that tree and make a house that's waterproof. We can't say that about our brick houses. Right? We had one whole building, they had to re-plaster the whole thing because it always leaked. And the Brahmacharya Ashram back here, we had to redo the tanks 5 times. This guy takes some grass. So how expert they are, right? It's cold in the winter, you know, then we make all arrangements and all these different things, try to stay warm, stay night. The frog just goes and hides in the ground and goes to sleep. You know, no expenses, doesn't have to go anywhere, you know, no arrangements, no disappointments that it didn't look as good as it did on the computer when you get there, you know, like that, you know. Photoshop's great, but when you get there, there was no Photoshop on the room, you know. And it just goes to sleep. Warms up a little, hey, it's out. Bugs are back, you know, it's going. So material expertise is not the symptom of the human being. We take it that human being means how sophisticated he is, how technology is there. No, human being means following human life, which means engaging in the Lord's service. So, because the human being is a social animal, you need a scientific system that is as sophisticated as Krishna consciousness. That's this Varnashram system that Maharaj Prithu is talking about. So it's to organize your life for Krishna consciousness. We make a mistake coming from the Western background. It's one, it's the glory, it's the drive, but it's also very major mistake that If it's not the top, it's not worth it, right? You know, first is first and second is last. And second is as good as last is last. It's not first, right? That's the point. You're not first, you didn't make it, right? Isn't it? You hear about, you know, gold medalist, and we don't hear about the silver guy or the bronze guy. He was the third best on the planet. Nobody cares. It's only the guy with the gold, right? You get the Academy Award. Anyone, you know, cares if you got a BAFTA or a Globe or, you know, what is it, Odior or whatever it is, the different thing, the French thing. Who cares? Right? It has to be the top. So therefore, when we say chanting is the most important thing, then that's it. But it's support for our conditioned nature, then that we write off. Oh, it doesn't matter. So when we say, oh, we don't follow Varnashram, who doesn't follow Varnashram? Preetu Maharaj, everybody in this book, except for Parvata Muni, is following Varnashram. Everyone. And we say, oh, we don't follow it. Here, it's saying here, and Prabhupada doesn't say in the purport, well, Preetu Maharaj is just saying this for a good example for the karmis. But in actuality, devotees couldn't care less about any social system. It's just whatever you feel like you do, right? You know, hey, we're still stuck in the time warp of the 60s, right? You know, if it feels good, do it. Hey, you know, like this. But that's not what it's going, Prabhupada's saying. But it's a support. We're not saying Varnashram is what we're supposed to be doing and that is your Krishna conscious process. No, you have to have good qualities to do it. So we're saying, oh, we chant Hare Krishna. That's the positive, that's the holy name. What about us? What's our qualification? No, the reason that we can't follow in this age is we are not qualified. You have to be born pious. I mean, with all the good qualities. You look at nectar devotion in the back, all those qualities there. You got to have those. Born with them. Then you can get some benefit. But the point is in there you're going to be associating with Brahmins, performing sacrifice, charity, chanting the holy name. That's the drive of it. That's the advantage of the Varnashram. It gets you to do all that. Therefore, the chanting of the holy name is good in any age. So it's the best. But as a social system, then what's our social system? American? European? Asian? You know, which part of Asia? India? You know, the China, you know, maybe Japan, maybe Korea. What about Vietnam, Cambodia? Hey, Cambodia, they have the biggest Vishnu temple in the world. Can't be all that bad, you know? So, which one do we use? What's the system? Like, what is the social system that we're following? Think about it. There isn't one. What do? We do whatever we grew up in our family and it didn't annoy us. Or we're not obliged to because of our job and other social pressures. That's it. Is that scientific? We have the most scientific philosophy in the cosmic creation. And we have no social system? Because we're not qualified and we want to, and due to our laziness and lack of understanding, we simply, fob it off on, hey, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care. If we don't care, you look on all the different blogs and sites and that the devotees are discussing things. What are they discussing most of the time? Something cultural. And why is it a confusion? Because Prabhupada says, philosophy without religion is mental speculation. He's not talking about the karmis, he's talking about us. We have to understand that Prabhupada's books are for us. The karmi gets benefit when he sees that, wow, there's something here, and gets faith and becomes a devotee. It's not that the academics are sitting around reading Prabhupada's books and, you know, progressing greatly in their material situation. It's meant for the devotees. Right? There's enough literatures for the karmis. They want to use their brain? Hey, go ahead and figure it out. The Prabhupada's books are for us. So, but he warns that never think that the secondary or supportive process is on an equal level with the primary. This is the problem. Because we can only do one thing at a time, then this is the problem. We can't be Krishna conscious and follow some culture. I mean, we could be Krishna conscious and drink some lassi, you know, that's kind of as close as we get. You know, the lassi has yogurt, yogurt culture, you know, that kind of things like that, you know, that kind of connection. Sorry if that was too subtle there. So that one we can do quite well, right? You know, like that. Few cultures, Cambodia's there, it's a culture. You know, so many different things are there. But the problem is that this balance, that's why it always says appropriate, always it says balanced. Because the primary and secondary are necessary. But we have to see the balance. The primary is always the drive, always the prominence. But the secondary is what is the support that makes it work. Right? If you're in the kitchen and you're going to cook, so your most important utensils will be your pots and your spoons. Right? But now, would you be able to cook in a very sophisticated way if you didn't have, you know, knives and graters and blenders and other things like that? No? You know, you mix your dough or different things in a bowl. You wash your rice in a bowl. But you don't cook in that bowl. So now, according to how we're following this Vedic culture, no, it's, you know, we just cook. We don't care about preparation. You'd say, that's stupid. But those who understand Krishna consciousness and the culture that goes with it, like Prithu Maharaj, will say, we chant Hare Krishna, we don't care for the rules, is equally as foolish. It's equally as foolish. Because there's principles there, our conditioned nature is such, it distracts us from Krishna consciousness. That's what it does. Right? That's what Maya means. We're distracted. So the point is the rules are to see that we're not distracted. Right? Does that make sense? Let us say, getting up at 4 in the morning, you know, taking your bath, you know, cold bath, going to the temple, doesn't matter what time of the, you know, year or this or that. And on the other side, sleeping in, you know, or, you know, doing other things, breakfast in bed, you know, I think that you know what I'm saying? So this is the problem. That's what we'd be doing if the rule wasn't there to get up. If the rule wasn't there to get up, we wouldn't get up, right? If it's a weekend, who gets up, right? There's no school, there's no work. What's the first thing people do? Not get up. Right? That's the weekend. Not getting up. Right? It's not something, it's not that, wow, now we have a free day, no work, now we can, you know, go out and do so many nice things. No, it doesn't happen. I remember when I visited LA as a devotee. And I was thinking, because it was, you know, like 30 years later, and I was thinking, wow, I don't remember it being so cold in the morning. You know, it was never this cold. What's happening? You know, the weather's changed, global warming, this and that. And I was asking a devotee, you know, I said, what? He says, no. He says, it always warms up around, you know, 8:39. You probably never got up before 9 o'clock. And I went, yeah, you're right, you know. Because it's cold up until 9 o'clock. And I was thinking, yeah, right, okay, cool. Okay, so, like that. So, it's just the way it works, right? So the point is that these regulations keep us from things that distract us. That's the problem. Right? Krishna's out dancing with the gopis all night. It's not a problem. Right? Why? Because they're all Krishna conscious. It works. But if we stay up all night then and party, then there's a good chance we're not thinking of Krishna, and the next morning we're really not thinking of Krishna. Right? So, therefore, then the lifestyle is regulated. Right? You understand? You eat at a regulated time. Then you, if you're eating at a regulated time, then you think of preparation. You think of all the different things. So therefore, offering it to Krishna, all that you come up. If it's just eat any time you like, whatever you like, however you like, then it would just be, you just feel like it, so you go to eat. So where's the remembrance? It won't happen. But I want to eat, but now it's another 2 hours. So therefore, then all the things that go with it, you'll think about it. Does this make sense? So the regulation supports, but now it says that Uttamadhikari doesn't have to follow it because he's already thinking about Krishna. He's not going to do those things anyway. He's not going to sleep in. He's already he probably doesn't even sleep. Right. So that's why it's not needed for them, not us. Of course, if anybody here is there and playing the part, you know, excuse me, but otherwise, then it means we're the ones that are conditioned, we're the ones that are not regulated. By regulation, it breaks down the conditioning, right? Materialism is only fun when it's spontaneous, right? Just like we see in the Shastras, when devotional service becomes spontaneous, everybody's talking really nice about it, right? It's very exciting. So the problem is that you only get to that position by regulation. One can think, no, it should be spontaneous. If that's the case, why are kids trained? Why are they disciplined? They're already spontaneous. Right? Eating and sleeping, it's highly rated. They're already fully absorbed. You know, completely. Whenever they just go to sleep, wherever they eat, whatever, anything goes in the mouth. But we regulate them. And then once they're regulated, then we're very happy when we see they're inspired in that regulation and now can work within that framework, right? They can look at the list and say, oh, I'll have the, 37, this, that, and everything like that. And they're, oh, wow, he knows his stuff. But that took regulation, that took training. You know, his suit, how it looks, the cuffs, the links, the watch, how he does it, that took regulation. Remember, Bond went to Oxford. He went to Eton. He was trained day in and day out about everything. And now, oh, he's so natural and spontaneous. It all comes from training. So the spontaneity that comes after regulation, that has value. Spontaneity that comes with no training, no regulation, has no value. It's called infantile. So this concept, so Prithumars and the others are following in a spontaneous fashion. We see the verses that are discussing here. It's all about the relationships and the interaction. It didn't say he did this rule, then he did that rule. It was says because of the rule, then he dressed in this way, he was looking at everybody, he was inspiring it. That's what's being discussed. That's why it's a Rasa Shastra. The rules are already understood. When they say he has, the kus ring and he wears a deer skin, black, you already know those things. Right, so that we don't have to discuss. Right, that's for other shastras. But the Bhagavatam is discussing it because through the regulation, one comes to the spontaneous platform. So Varnashram is that regulation. Pancharatra is that regulation. Right, that's what then creates. Right, see, this is spontaneous. It has this. So material spontaneity is, overrated, right? It has its limit, right? Remember, the guy at the party, he's creating all the excitement and all that, and everyone's fired up, they like him at the party, but no one will marry him. Because he's not regulated, he's not committed, he doesn't have all those things. Right? You don't hear of anybody marrying the life of the party. If it's a boy. If it's a girl, yes. But if it's a boy, no. It's the quiet, suave guy over there. Well-dressed, well-situated. That's the guy. The other guy's fun. You watch a movie for fun. You listen to music for fun. You go on a vacation for fun. But it's not your lifestyle. It's not what you do. Does this make sense? Right. So the idea is that what he's pointing out here is that Varnashram is the social support to the Krishna consciousness process. That doesn't mean the rules are what's important. You know, we'll get distracted or disturbed by the pro-Vedic personalities because the rules become the important thing. The rule is what's Varnashram. No, Varnashram is a set, is a perspective in which Krishna consciousness is more important than your material needs. But you can get your material needs in connection with the Lord. Right? They're prosperous. Prithu Maharaj is doing okay. He's the king of a whole planet. You know, when he says planet in the previous verses, Prabhupada, the verse points out the seven continents, right? And the seven seas. And so it makes it very clear. Prabhupada in the purport points out what are the continents. And he mentions all of them. He just, Antarctica is not counted as a Vedic planet unless, you know, penguins are, you know, you got a fetish about penguins. Okay, then cool. But otherwise, Oceania, all those islands, that is a continent. That's the only difference. The Vedic perspective is Oceania. That's the seventh continent, not a block of ice. You know, we don't call the North Pole, you know, they're both blocks of ice, but somehow the one's bigger, you know, and one's not, you know, so somehow another, you know, becomes a continent. But that's not, you know, an ice cube floating around in your drink doesn't become an island or something, right? It's going to go away. So that meant they had lordship over all of that. And it wasn't talk. You know, it's real. So the idea to be gained is to be able to see that when it's talking about direct devotional activities, chanting the holy name, associating with devotees, remembering Krishna, performing different various services, then is giving that as the primary focus. But when it talks about Varnashram and Panchara, other rules, it's giving that as a support for because of our conditioning. That's all. So it's not against devotional service. If it becomes too prominent, yes, then it becomes annoying. Then the karma, Mr. Jnana, and Mr. Bhakti becomes so overbalanced it becomes disturbing. But as a process, they're very valid. Otherwise, why is it purport after purport, verse after verse, it's being mentioned? Because it is valuable. When we accept it as valuable, then we can go to the point, well, what is the actual meaning? What's the actual purpose? What is actually meant for? Right? Then we get into the proper moods and attitudes. It's not to create our own social prestige and position. It's to see that everybody is engaged according to their nature and is getting what they actually desire on the material platform. Right? But you're approaching the Lord. Prithu Maharaj makes the point. Is by performance of my duties, everything that I want, I will get. Right? And that administrator who doesn't teach his dependents how to engage their nature in Krishna's service, but they're taking taxes, they share in the sin because you're taking tax from money, right? Money is generated by occupation. Right? In that occupation, there's your mentality and other aspects that have the sinful side. So if you're taking the money, then you get that along with it. It's just the way it works. It's not a matter, we're devotees, it doesn't. He's talking devotees here. We have to remember that. These subtle laws are real. We may say, oh, I didn't hear about it. You know, my mom didn't talk about it. You know, but that doesn't matter. Or we chant Hare Krishna. No, but you should understand it better. We try to, due to laziness, due to the mode of ignorance and passion, we try to put these on the side. But in reality, that's not what it is. In reality, these are real. But when one connects everything to Krishna, then its scariness goes away. But if you don't connect it to Krishna, you get kicked right in the face. You know, Maya is a devotee, and you don't deal with it properly, it doesn't matter who you think you are, or who, like this, she's still good at kicking in the face. Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, seriously.
Could you tell, please, where our Varnashram system in ISKCON starts from?
Where does Varnashram system in ISKCON start?
Starts from, and where we have to think about that, start to think about, from which point?
From which point we have to start? Or,
and a second, about Sattvika Tantras.
The Sattvika Tantras.
Tantras, where Shiva says about talking about behavior of Vaishnavas.
Sattvika?
Sattvika Tantra.
Sattvika Tantra.
Right. Shortly, okay. If that's possible.
Varnashram Prabhupada makes it very clear. I mean, it starts from Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. You can't make it up. But he says it starts with the Brahmins. That's because the Vedic system is Brahminical culture. The culture of Brahmins is the common culture of everyone in the Vedic society. We make the mistake and think Brahmin culture is one thing, Kshatriya culture is another thing, Vaishya is different, Shudra is different. There isn't such a thing. Manu Samhita, which is the guidebook in this, doesn't mention a different culture for Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. There isn't one. There's only Brahminical culture. You apply it as much as you can in your life. You understand? That's all. But there's only, so therefore, learning the Brahminical lifestyle, the Brahminical culture, the Brahminical philosophy, that's where it starts. From that, then naturally, the occupational duties will expand. You apply the same thing into these other aspects, like here, it's saying. This Brahminical element of God consciousness, if that's not taught by the leadership to the dependents, then any tax taken by them will carry large amounts of karma. You teach them, you get 1/6. You're going to get something anyway. But you teach them Varnashram, you teach them how to behave in Krishna consciousness, you get only 1/6. Right? You get, which is what, 16.5% or something like that. You know? That much you get. But if you don't teach them, you can get as up to 100%. That's the law, right? So the point is these are given so that one remembers that, hey, I'm managing to organize Krishna consciousness, not that Krishna consciousness goes around my management. Does that make sense? It can be easily mistaken, just like the person who deals with money. They think collecting money and having money is the most important. You don't collect money, you're not a big guy. It's true on the material platform. But on the spiritual platform, you know what I'm saying? So the whole idea is the person who's good at the art or good at the thing, he can sing the kirtan fabulously, so therefore that's the important thing. No, it's not. It's the devotion. Right? The person can perform all the rituals and everything, all in the deity worship and other activities, but that's not what's important. Everything, the ritual, the administration, the money, the art, all those are simply mediums for expressing the Brahminical culture of being absorbed in Brahman, which means Krishna. That's all it's for. You have to use a medium. Right? Anything you want to do, there has to be a medium. Yeah, so the message is not in the medium. The medium carries the message, right? That's Maya. You know, the message is in the medium. Like that's because they don't even notice the medium, so they're trying to get their people conscious that the medium exists and that's through which they'll get their success. But the common person still stays very external and doesn't notice that. So they think the rule is what's getting it. Rules don't get. Krishna consciousness is independent. So it's not dependent upon how well you perform your duties. It depends upon how interested you are in being Krishna conscious. That's all. Right? And that's the point. Ajamiya was interested in being Krishna conscious. Therefore, the Yamadutas had to leave him alone. As far as qualification and all that, you know, he could have written a book on how to be sinful. You know, he was good. You know? So, but this is simply the desire. The desire to be Krishna conscious is all it takes. But the point is what keeps us from desiring only Krishna consciousness? Our material conditioning. Therefore, it's regulated by these processes. Right? Does that make sense? Okay? And the Sattvika Tantras? Sattvika Tantra, mantra means the words used that free the mind from its conditioning, and the Tantra means what activities go along with the mantra that engage the body and the senses. Does that make sense? So, deity worship is Sattvika Tantra. Right? You're performing Artik, that's Sattvika Tantra. You know what I'm saying? So, our worship is based on Gotamiya Tantra. Tantra simply means ritual, that's all. But, in India, it becomes connotated with Shiva and Durga. You know, Kali, like this. But it's not. It's a generic term that simply means ritual. You're doing Achman, that's Sattvika Tantra. Okay. So you don't have to go off reading Sattvika Tantras. You want to read Gotamiya Tantra? Then go ahead. Other than that, you already got a whole stack of them. First figure out what Lord Chaitanya is talking about in Chaitanya Charitamrita when he's discussing with Sanatana Goswami. Can't figure that out, you'll never figure the rest of it out. Unless, of course, you want to become a Shaivite. You know, but big waste. Come to Krishna consciousness, have the topmost shastras, and then, because of our conditioning, get distracted by, you know, shastras not only that are not dealing directly with the transcendental, but may even be distracting, that aren't even necessary or recommended. That would be a big waste, come so far. I think there's an African saying, the person works so hard to climb up to the top of the mountain just to fall down the other side. Like that. Yes.
I guess you should tell us that if you want to see your vana, if you want to determine your vana, to see what you like to do best. And you used to tell us that if you want to determine your vana, to see how you get your money.
Because varna means money.
Right.
Varna doesn't mean... Ashram's another thing. Ashram means your connection with the development of material facilities or not. And then how do you get the money for those facilities? That's varna.
Yeah, so, but my question is that if I see what I like to do based on my own example, then I'm Shudra. I used to want nothing else but be a drummer in a rock band.
But do you make your money by that?
Yeah, but then
you know, if you're the drummer from Motley Crue, yes, you're then
right,
you're a Shudra.
Right. So how I make my money, I'm a Kshatriya because I live on a pension from the state. And I also see a little bit Brahmin because I like to study.
No, but the point is, it's when you're looking at the occupation, you look at what's essential. Because music isn't essential. It's the expression of your feelings through art, which is essential. In other words, there's these feelings that have to come out. And if they're not sitting there banging on a drum, it doesn't come out and their head explodes. Right? And you don't want a Shudra with an exploding head. It's just not recommended. Right? You know, they do weird stuff, cut off their ears, do all kinds of strange things. Right? So, it's not good. Kshatriya means protection. You're involved in seeing that those under, you know, that's under that governance are protected. Then management, administration, chastisement, you know, economics, bureaucracy, these are all tools that are used. You know, how you say politics, they're tools. But the point is protection. Because otherwise, a government official, a bureaucrat, is also a shudra. Because they're concerned with doing their art of their specific job, right? They take care of the accounts very well. And the perfection of their accounts, right? You know, in other words, like we have, you know, for Krishna consciousness, we have an accountant office, right? Prabhupada always wanted. You have the temple president, you have the secretary, and you have the treasurer, right? So the treasury means it keeps the money. So if everything is about how to perfectly keep the money, so the treasury should control everything that everybody does and everything so that you have perfect accounts, that's a shudra, not an administrator. An administrator is, you know, you need money to do projects. And so if you don't control the money and keep track of it, it just disappears. Right? So therefore, you want proper accounts, everything accounted for, but it doesn't get in the way of the spontaneity and the inspiration to do projects. So that's how you tell. Are you dealing with an administrator? And that they want to know how you're going to spend the money and what your plan is. And then if they're convinced, great. That's an administrator. They want to control everything, tell you what to do, because their accounts will go so perfectly. That's a shudra. Does that make sense?
Yes, but
yeah. So Brahman means an understanding of Brahman, and therefore working just with the sattvic elements as much as possible. You know, or even if you're dealing in the rajas elements of like administration, you're dealing with the sattvic aspects of it. You know, the knowledge and other things like that. Vaishya just means economics, however you can get it, through banking, through business, through cows, through land, you know, whatever you can do. And shudra simply means you express your identity is expressed through the art. Does that make sense? So we see in the Vedic culture that everybody knew art, 64 arts. So Hanuman is expert at music. He's expert at dance. He can do all these things, but it's not his occupation, right? You know, what I'm saying, jumping up trees, getting bananas, that's his occupation. But music, he can sit down and sing as good as anybody. Does that make sense? So just because one has a strong inclination for a particular art doesn't necessarily mean one's an artist. One may be artistic. Like kings were artistic, but it doesn't mean they're artists. You know.
My question is that in Kali Yuga, it seems people, I can see myself, very mixed up varna wise.
Well, that's a euphemism. Prabhupada technically used mix of mixes.
Yeah. So my question is, how do I fit into the varnashram?
How do you fit into the varnashram? So what means, if you can identify what elements in your consciousness of your, means in other words, you can identify your values. You can't identify your values, then, you know, it's not going to work out. But if you can identify what your values are, then the point is if they're all in line with one, you know, natural varna ashram, then great. That's why the Vedic system is very careful who marries who. So all this, just you dress up really nicely and therefore try to attract attention. That's good for dogs, like that. But then you get what we call mongrels or mutts, you know, just something off the street. But anything of pedigree that has any value, that means it's the same nature, like that. So therefore, you know, it means there are plenty of pedigree dogs, but there's regulation. But there's a lot more mongrels on the street. Right, so those who have no discrimination, you get mongrels. Who have discrimination, then you get a specific type. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, we may find that we have more of a specific type of, you know, animalness, or we may have a mix of animalness, you know, from our background. So if you can identify the values, then you take each of those values, and whatever goes together does, but whatever is contradictory, you deal with them on their own, and you deal with them according to how Shastra says it must be dealt with. So the point is if it's if it's a mix, and when you're dealing with one, when you let's say a common mix, right? The guy is the big collector, and he marries the pujari, right? Right, pretty common. So then the son can't figure out if he's a Brahmin or a Vaishya. So he works it out by, he's going to go and travel for the summer, you know, on the festival of India and do preaching. But he's going to, before he leaves India, buy a whole, you know, suitcase full of saris and sell them there to take care of himself and get all the stuff before he comes back to India. Right? So business, you deal in a business way. But when you're dealing on the tour and preaching, you deal with that in the Brahminical way. In other words, you don't let them cross. It's hard. That's why it's not recommended. It's really easy if everything's very clear. You know, one's a businessman, then you know, this is where I fit in society. This is what I do. If it's going to make me profit, I'm going to do it. And I don't care what it means socially. Because at the end of the day, amongst the other people in economics, if I got money, they have to respect you. How you got it, they're not going to complain. Right? Ultimately, if you're good, they're not going to complain. They can't. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the Vaishya is very comfortable. He knows, okay, I don't have the culture. I wouldn't be able to not do this. I wouldn't be able to take the opportunity, you know, even if it meant compromise on my, you know, culture or character, because I'll have money. Kshatriya won't do that. Brahmin won't do that. Shudra won't know how to do it. He might do it, but he can't. But Vaishya has, and he doesn't. So that's so there it does. So you have to be very careful to not let them overlap. Otherwise, then you get stuff like the guys that own the hospital are Vaishyas. It's a business. But you think of hospital as something that's a Brahminical thing, that you're going to go there and they're going to treat you. So when you're sick, you want to go to the hospital. And then when they tell you, yes, we can take care of this, it'll cost you $100,000. That's where the Vaishya comes in. That's when you feel bad. Why? Because the two are being mixed. You know what I'm saying? But if you had a businessman and he didn't make money, you'd think that's stupid. You know? It means he could make $1 million off the deal, but he only makes 100,000. You know, but the million would be proper. No one would complain. It wasn't cheating, it wasn't anything, no exploitation. But he just decided to make a, you'd think that's stupid. You could say, oh, but he's so renounced, he's so Brahminical. No, he's so stupid. Right? Just like the Brahmin who's trying to make money out of his puja and yagyas. So that's the thing. Figure out your values and then deal with them according to the rule. Just like, let's take another example. The person has a job, right? At the local, whatever it is, some office of the Tesco's and all that. But he happens to be the temple president and the head pujari. So whenever there's a samskar or this or that, he's the man. So that means when he's doing puja, then he's a Brahmin. When he's at home doing his puja, he's a Brahmin. But when he goes to work, even though he may be a Brahmin, he's in the position of a Shudra. Therefore, the boss is the Vaishya. He's higher. He tells you what to do, not I'm the Brahmin, he can't tell me what to do. Then be independent. Go beg. But you're in that position, so you're accepting the job of a Shudra. So therefore, act like one. Be a good Shudra. If you're a good Shudra, Vaishyas like good Shudras. They prosper, right? Vaishyas like to give more facility and more money to good Shudras. They're just waiting, right? But that means you're committed, right? That's what they're looking for. You're committed. You deal with them nicely. You deal with anything connected with them nicely. So when the kid comes to the office, you deal nicely with their kid. You know, not that, well, I got my job, it's my job, it's not to take care of their kid. No, you take care of their kid. Right? And you figure out what he wants in his company. Of course, make money, but what's the mood? How do they project themselves? You know, like when you look in these magazines, international magazines, you look at all these nice, there's like full page or double page or even triple page articles, I mean advertisements on ecology, right? But who are the companies that are putting them up? Oil companies and car companies, you know, or chemical companies, right? You know, it wasn't the local, village cooperative that had put that up. No, it's easy, because that's what they want to project themselves, that they're worried about the planet. Yes, they're worried that if it falls apart too quickly, they're not going to get enough money before they die, right? Because, you know, let it fall apart afterwards, you know, but not while I'm around, so therefore. You understand? So you have to deal according to things. So that's what he wants in his company. So that's what you go for. Then you're a good Shudra. Then you'll prosper. Right? And then when you come back to the temple, then you're a good Brahmin. You do the puja and everything nicely. No considerations of money and this and that. Then it'll work. A bit of a trip, but hey, it'll work. That's why Shastra recommends equal nature gets married, so that they have a kid that's of one nature. Otherwise, then the kid always has to figure out who he is, right? You know? And you can get back pain sitting around doing this all day and stuff like that. You know, it's a problem. You know, it's not good. It's not recommended. You sit straight, you know, all those kind of things. Okay? Yes, that's fine.
Fanaticism, correct?
Fanaticism or sentiment.
Oh, okay.
Sentiment.
I question then, what were you equating with any of these terms? Where would you equate Varnashram and rules as you were discussing?
Varnashram and rules. Varnashram is religion.
Okay, Varnashram is religion.
Is religion. So in other words, if you have the philosophy of Krishna consciousness but don't accept the religion of Varnashram and Pancharatra, then it'll be speculative what the lifestyle is.
So is it, you know, philosophy of Vaishnavism?
Philosophy is Vaishnavism, of course.
And where are the rules? Where are you equating the rules here?
Rules are religion.
Rules are religion. Also, philosophy contains rules.
No, philosophy doesn't have any rules. Philosophy is tattva. It's explaining what is to be, what is the situation, who God is, who the jiva is, what their relationship is, what the material world is, what is the process of elevation, what is the goal. That's philosophy.
Process of elevation would not constitute rules?
No. The philosophy of elevation is defining what is the position, so therefore that's why this activity would work. But it's not telling you how to perform the activity. It's telling you the mentality required based on the nature of the jiva. When you get into the rules, that's religion. Now for us, we technically don't separate between Sanatan Dharma and Varnashram Dharma. Because for us, it's Daiva Varnashram. What happens is devotees, due to their conditioning, they make the separation. But Prabhupada doesn't. Right, he talks about making that separation. Where he's talking strongly about the weaknesses of Varnashram, that's where the individual takes Varnashram as separate from Krishna consciousness. So it's the rules that are important. But then if that's the case, then that would mean that karma develops bhakti, but bhakti is separate. The point is we have to be engaged in the Lord's service. We have to have the desire. But what's going to keep you? What's going to be? Why would you be at Mangal Arati? Right? Simply that great desire to see the Lord so early in the morning, so you spontaneously get out of bed and run to the temple, like the cowherd boys and Mother Yashoda and everybody like that. Is that why we're at Mangal Arati? Or we're there because it's a rule? So that rule is keeping us from doing something that we shouldn't be doing. No, it comes from, you just said it, it comes from, but it's not the philosophy, it's from the culture. You had the philosophy establishes what's the situation, the culture is what you do with that situation, how you apply that situation in your life. So you don't separate, but you have to be able to make the difference. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. Let us say you want to show affection to a friend. Okay? So, therefore you come up, give him a hug, or, you know, ask him how are you doing, or that. But that's a ritual. That's a rule. So, Without that, how would you express it? Just sit there and telepathy and all that? Notice no one talks about telepathy anymore. It was a big thing in the 50s, 60s, 70s, maybe even back farther. No one talks about it because it doesn't work. So they figured it out that, you know, there is no rasa there. So the thing is the form of the relationship and the position of the relationship are they're non-different, but they're different. You know, it's friendship, therefore you're going to hug him in one way. If it was your child, you'd hug him in a different way. Right? You know, if it's the spouse, you'd hug him in a different way. But it's still a hug. It's still based on relationship, but it's based on the tattva or principle of the relationship. Therefore, then there'll be some slight change in the culture, which is the relationship with, you know, in the sense. So the two go together. One is the drive behind, you know, what is the principles and therefore is drive behind it. And the other is the forms that are used to express it. You know, like we were saying before, there's music and then you express it through drums or through singing or through like that. But it's still, there's a medium. So it's non-different, but at the same time it's different. That's what we're actually discussing in the philosophy, is where's the common point, so we don't try to use one without the other. Because that's where the problem comes. If it's only philosophy without the culture, then it's gyan. And if it's just the culture without the philosophy, it's karma. Right? Or to see, so that they're seen properly together, but at the same time, so we can tell the difference, so you know what's the higher principle and what's the supportive. Right? Does that make sense? You know, because they would say, what's the main thing of this of our movement? Well, we'll say chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, so what does chanting Hare Krishna mean? You know, beads and, you know, like this and your rounds. No, that's the support. The real thing is associating directly with Krishna's name. And so advancement means is according to how much you're attached to that name. When that attachment is stable, it's called nishta, you're a madhyama. When it's unstable, then you're a neophyte. You know, and then when you have a taste, then it's called ruchi. When it's attachment, it's called asakti. When that attachment deepens to the point of ecstasy, it's called bhava. And when that fully matures, it's called prema. But you probably find most devotees wouldn't be able to explain that. Why not? They can't tell the difference between the philosophy and the culture. So they can't tell what's the direct and what's the support. Therefore, then, when we have all these things that we're talking about, our presentation of ourselves to the public, that's because the persons who make that statement only know external. They don't actually know our philosophy. Because if they really knew our philosophy is universal. It's for every jiva in every situation. That's what the Bhagavatam is saying. You should think of Krishna at all times, all places, and all circumstances without any exception. That's universal. There is no philosophy or religion that is that broad. You know what I'm saying? The Catholic has to be in the church to pray. The Protestant, better he's not in the church. He's out in the field. You know, so it's bound by their situations. So it's not universal. Krishna is the only universal, but they're not catching on the universal point that is being given by Prabhupada and the Acharyas. Therefore, they're thinking it's external thing. Oh, it's Indian dress. No, it's not. It's the dress of a gentleman. Bhaktisiddhanta said he was a gentleman. Bhaktivinoda, a gentleman. Prabhupada, a gentleman. That's what was being expressed. You know? They're like the people think music is banging on drums. So if you just take sticks and bang on it like that, and then everyone goes, ooh, that's not good. So, well, you don't like my music. And like, but that wasn't music. So when it talks about Krishna consciousness simply in the form, it wasn't the philosophy. It's the culture. But the point is the culture is based on philosophy. So therefore, every last person who has a problem with how Prabhupada presents things and how we present, they have a problem with the externals, not with the philosophy. Because they don't know enough to tell the difference. Doesn't mean they don't have the intelligence enough to know the difference. It just means in their training they don't know. So that's not a fault. It's just a weakness. Therefore, we come up with all these ways we're going to present ourselves. But since that's being done since the mid-80s, is the public opinion any greater of us? No. I walk around in the public. People think I'm a Buddhist. That's how good our PR is. When before, they would think Buddhists are Hare Krishnas. That's the degree with which. Why? Because they're talking some even little bits of culture that they don't even know Western culture. Therefore, there's no result. Like that. And, yeah, that's a whole different topic. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur doesn't have much good to say about this topic. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is that devotee, that's why they speculate. Well, how should we dress? What should we eat? What should be? Those are all speculations on the culture of Krishna consciousness. Why? Because they haven't accepted it. So they just speculate. That's what it's all. You go into a meeting, and if it's not about money or who's in charge, then it's some speculation over culture. You know? Every forum I've ever seen, that's what's going on. Like that. Occasionally they discuss something, you know. But most of the time it's just lack of culture, so therefore these problems come up. Okay. So we'll end here. Like that. It's technically supposed to end at 8:45 so the brahmacharis can go eat. They won't starve. Sorry, I had to say that. I was before the class. I thought I'm not going to say this. Nope, no, I'm not going to say this. But it popped out. What to do? Like that. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaura Premanandi.